I put a verse in your bulletin that has to do with snow. I actually thought about doing a message about snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. But this is the verse that I put in the bulletin. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but waters the earth, so shall my word that goes out of my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish what that which I purpose. So God compares the snow to his word. The snow has a purpose to water the earth, and God's word has a purpose to bring life to its listeners. So rather than speak about snow, I'm going to continue on with my series through God's word. We're in a kind of a hefty series. It's called What the Bible is All About. And what we're doing is taking one Sunday in each book of the Bible and just picking up a theme and a highlight or two, not a detailed look by any stretch, but an overall look. And I believe there's a message for us in every book of the Bible, old and new, don't you? God's word is given to us for our teaching and our encouragement. So far, we've covered the first four books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. So we're in our fifth book, Deuteronomy. Together, these five books are called the Pentateuch. Penta means five. Or sometimes it's called the law of Moses. Or it's called the Torah. But these are very important books to the Jewish culture, even today. They're written by Moses and are very foundational to understanding the rest of the Bible. So we've spent 1 week in each book. Hopefully you spent some time reading. I don't expect you to read the whole book, but if you can, if you're a reader, then read ahead. You know what book's next. After Deuteronomy is what? After Deuteronomy is what?
Joshua.
Come on, Bible scholars. In Genesis, that we learned that God created the world and everything in it. Genesis is a book of beginnings. That's what it means. And God chose one special nation through a man named Abraham, Isaac, and his sons Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel. And God chose this nation to prepare to send a Messiah who is Jesus. So the lesson from Genesis is that God is our creator. He's our beginner. He's our author. Exodus tells us the story of God, how God miraculously delivered Israel from Egypt when they were slaves. Now God revealed himself on Mount Sinai. So the message for us in that book is God is our deliverer. God is our creator, Genesis. God is our deliverer, Exodus. And God is our redeemer, Leviticus. Leviticus tells how people can have their sins forgiven through the sacrificing of animals in those days. Aren't you glad we don't do animal sacrifices? But without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. So animals had to be shed. Their innocent blood had to be poured out. This pointed forward to Christ, who is our Redeemer, who's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So God is our Redeemer in Leviticus. Last time, it's been a few weeks ago, we did Numbers. Numbers was a very sad book. Israel marched to the border of the Promised Land, but they chickened out at the last minute and didn't go forward. Instead, they stayed on the wrong side of the Jordan. They didn't cross over to take the nation. They didn't conquer it. They were paralyzed by fear. So God gave them a 40-year detour. They wandered around the wilderness before they could enter the land. So the message for us is that fear leads to failure. They feared they wouldn't listen to God, they wouldn't obey God, and they failed. Today, though, we're in the book of Deuteronomy. It's kind of a transition book. It picks up the story where we left off. After failing to enter the Promised Land, which is also called Canaan, God's people have been wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years is a long time to be wandering around in a wilderness. You can see Jordan, the river, you can see Canaan, but you can't enter it. They wandered around. The older generation by now has died off, as God foretold. He said those who feared to enter would not get to enter. So they walked around for 40 years, so that whole generation died off. Now we have Moses leading this younger generation of Israelites back to the border of the Promised Land. So Deuteronomy is essentially a pep talk by Moses. Before attempting to enter the Promised Land, he gives them a talk. He sits down and says, I need to talk with you. the younger generation. He has a heart-to-heart talk with them, and what he does is he reviews the mistakes of the past, and he challenges them about the future. So this is a transition book. They're not moving now. They're stopped, ready to enter in. 40 years have passed. The whole generation is gone. So I've titled today's message, A Promised Land Pep Talk. A Promised Land Pep Talk. What happens at a pep talk at a halftime or a football game? We have a football player and a few of you here. You've experienced a pep talk. Well, two things happen. The coach first looks back at the first half and reviews the game. He points out the mistakes that the team made. He tells them to learn from their mistakes and reminds them to get back to the basics, run the plays correctly, follow the game plan, and you'll win. And then secondly, the coach looks forward to the second half of the game. He challenges them to step up, be strong. The goal is within your reach. Go for the win. And that is exactly what the book of Deuteronomy is. Moses reviews the past. He reminds Israel of their mistakes, how they'd gotten so close to the end zone, how they failed to score, how they failed to enter. They'd gotten near to the promised land, and fear stopped them from moving forward. He reminds this younger generation, don't make the mistakes of your parents. Learn from your mistakes. Don't make the same mistakes again. But that's pretty good advice for us, isn't it? Don't keep making the same mistakes. Look back at the past and say, I failed. God, give me the victory. So then Moses looks forward. He challenges them for the future. If they will follow the game plan, they will get the victory. The promised land is within their reach. This time, with God's help, they won't be denied. Amen? So that's what he's saying. He says, you, younger generation, succeed where your parents failed. His pep talk reaches its climax in chapter 31. Let's read verse 6. Moses says, now be strong and courageous and do not be afraid or tremble at them. At who? At the giants that are in the land. Their forefathers trembled at the giants. He says, we can't enter this land. We feel like grasshoppers compared to them. He says, you be strong, you be courageous, do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. God goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. That's what happened the first time, is they trembled in fear. They failed to advance. So Moses says, don't let their size fool you. God is bigger. Don't let their strength fool you. God is stronger. God will give us the victory. Be strong. Be courageous. March forward. God is with us. Spoiler alert here. God does give them the victory. That's the next book. That's the exciting book of Joshua. God brings the victory through a man named Joshua, who leads them into the promised land. But before we look at the message of Deuteronomy, I want to first show you the author and the settings. So let's go back to chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read just a couple verses, and then I'm going to give you the overall picture of the book. Here we go. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness. They're on the wrong side of the Jordan. Promised land's on the other side. They're in the wilderness. They're within view. Moses and Israel are still camped in the wilderness, within sight of the promised land. And he says this, in the 40th year, Moses spoke to the children of Israel, this is verse 3, according to all that the Lord had commanded him. What's that 40th year mean? 40th year. How long were they wandering in the wilderness? 40 years. I can imagine they're waiting for that last old guy to pass away. Well, you know, that whole generation is going to die for 40 years. So they're marching around. I don't know how many people must have died every single day to lose that whole generation in 40 years. Finally, the 40th year comes, and Moses speaks up. They had wasted 40 years as a consequence of their fear. Don't waste time. Get back to following God. Don't be fearful. Would they fail again? Not if Moses can help it. Here's where we see Moses giving his pep talk from the Lord. He says, let's do better this time around. Now, I want you to notice a phrase in that last verse. Would you show that verse again? It says, Moses spoke to them all that the Lord had commanded him. So God spoke to Moses, and then Moses spoke to the people. God didn't speak directly to the people. God sometimes speaks to us through other people. You'd love to have that word straight from the Lord, wouldn't you? But you know what? That doesn't always happen. God didn't speak directly to Israel, but to Moses, and then he spoke to them. As you interact with other believers, especially spiritual mentors, people like a Moses in your life, listen to what they say. Be teachable. God may be speaking to you through them, right? God may be speaking to you through them. So listen to those who are in authority above you, your pastors, your teachers, your mentors. Here's an important fact. Moses was speaking to the younger generation. The older generation had all died off. So his listeners were all younger than 60 years old, and they probably were too young to remember all that had happened. They couldn't hardly remember the deliverance from Egypt. They would have been babies, children, or the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. They were younger. So it's important in this book for Moses to review the history. He said, let me bring you guys up to snuff so you know what your history is before we go and conquer the land. Deuteronomy literally means the second law. Moses is giving the law a second time. So if you read it, you saw, this looks a lot like Leviticus and Exodus. It did, because God is, through Moses, is giving them all the laws and rules of their nation. So much of Deuteronomy is reviewing details of Jewish law, reviewing the history of the Jewish people, reviewing the mistakes of the past generations. It is really a book of remembrance. The word remember occurs 15 times. But we're not going to spend time reviewing all that history. I don't think we have time to get bogged down. Rather, I want to focus on Moses' pep talk. What did he say that ignited them and led them on to go forward? What's the heart of his message? What were the keys to victory this time around? What could they do to assure victory? Now, first, let me tell you what Moses did not say, all right? He didn't focus on building a stronger military. Yeah, they're getting ready to conquer the land. He did not talk about military at all. He did not emphasize greater weaponry. He didn't say, well, we need to build bigger guns and bigger bombs. Do they have guns and bombs in those days? Bigger catapults, bigger battering rams. He didn't mention any of that in this book. He said, we're going to go conquer the land. But we're not talking about weapons. We're not talking about military. We're not talking about fighting strategies. Rather, he focused on spiritual preparedness. He said, you're God's people. God's going to fight your battle. He's going before you. He's going to be with you. He knew that the battle was not of physical strength, but of spiritual strength. Remember that great verse in Zechariah that says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That's the message of Moses. We're not going to win this battle by might and by battle, but by strength and weapons. That's what the 12 spies made a mistake of doing, saying we're not strong enough to fight against these giants. Well, they underestimated God, didn't they? Israel would not conquer by military might, but only by God's intervention, God's involvement. What then did Moses say? If he didn't talk about weapons and strategy, what did he say? What instructions did Moses give to assure the victory? I've condensed his instructions down to four statements. You have an outline in your bulletin if you want those four statements. Maybe this is oversimplified, but I'm taking this whole book and summarizing it in four statements. Are you ready? These are four statements that would assure them victory when they would go into the land. And I believe if we implement these four statements in our life, we'll get the victory too. It'll be God working in us and through us. Number one, to assure victory, we must seek the Lord. That is all through this book. We must seek the Lord. The previous generation was seeking the wrong things. Things like self-preservation. Oh, we can't fight against them. We're not strong enough. Safety. Oh, our children have to stay safe. We can't go into the land. Comfort. Oh, we missed the good food of Egypt. They were focused on everything but the right thing. They didn't want to risk going into battle. Their eyes were on the enemy instead of on God. They even begged to return to Egypt. They got their eyes off God and off the goal of going into the promised land. So Moses instructs his younger generation, don't get your eyes off God, seek God. Set your eyes on God and keep your eyes on God and you'll have the victory. Here's the verse, Deuteronomy 4:29. You will seek the Lord. You will seek the Lord your God And you will find him if you search for him with all of your heart and all of your soul. Just look at that verse. Isn't that a beautiful verse? You will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search for him with all of your heart, with all of your soul. If we want victory over the giants in our life, we must keep our eyes on Christ. Seek the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul. It's wholehearted chasing after God. This is not just a one-time experience. You say, well, I found the Lord. This is an everyday passion of seeking him, pursuing him, putting him first in your life. It sounds a lot like what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Let me ask you, are you searching for God? Are you seeking for God? Are you listening for God? God desires to make himself known. He will show himself to you if you are seeking, if you have eyes open to him. The promise is clear. Seek and you shall find. Jesus said that too in the Sermon on the Mount. And that's what this verse says. Seek the Lord and he will be found by you. So if you're seeking God, you will be found. Okay, number two. To assure victory, we must love the Lord. Not just seek the Lord, but love the Lord. Seeking is one thing, but loving is another. God demands our total allegiance. Listen to Moses as he gives a second piece of advice. This is also Deuteronomy chapter 6 now, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Don't you love that verse? Love the Lord. We saw seek the Lord, and he will be found. Now it says love the Lord with all your heart. It's not enough to say, well, I know the Lord. Oh, I found the Lord. I believe in God. I know about God. I'm a follower of God. You can claim that all you want. God is not interested in your profession. He's interested in your passion. Do you show that by your devotion to him, your prayer life, your love for him, reading scriptures? Is it a full-hearted kind of Christianity? You might recognize this verse because it's called the Shema. It's part of the passage that the Jews pray and recite twice each day. It's considered the most important of all the Old Testament scriptures. So the Jews repeat this in the morning and repeat this at night. Jesus agreed because he called it the greatest commandment, didn't he? The most important thing a person can do is to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Let me ask you, do you really love God? Are you not only seeking God, but loving God? Is he the most important relationship in your life? Do you express your love to God each day? Do you do like the Jewish people do and tell God, I love you every morning? I love you every night? Is it a passionate kind of relationship with him? By the way, Jesus went on to identify a second most important commandment. What is that one? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Where's that one found? Leviticus. So the two greatest commandments in all the Bible are in these two books, Leviticus and Deuteronomy, are in the Torah. So rightly so should we be studying this. This is where Jesus spent time studying because he quotes from it. He says, I can tell you the greatest commandment is from Deuteronomy. The second greatest commandment is from Leviticus. He knew his word, the word inside and out. I know religion can be complicated. That's why Jesus summed all the law in these two commands. He says, love God, your vertical relationship. Get that right. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Seek God, love God, and love your neighbor as yourself, your horizontal relationship. Our love for God should overflow to loving his people. If we truly love God, we will love his people. It's not a religion that matters most, but a relationship with God and a relationship with people that makes us right with God. Now, we've adopted this verse as our mission statement. And you see on the front of your bulletin, it says the twin priorities of Twin Peaks Church. Twin Peaks, twin priorities is loving God and loving people. So everything we do at Twin Peaks Community Church must somehow reflect that we have a love for God, and we have a love for our neighbors, our community. If we don't love God, if we don't demonstrate love for people, we're wasting our time. So far we've seen the two secrets of success is to seek the Lord and to love the Lord. third one. To assure victory, we must share the Lord. You don't get the Lord and not share him. This is another part that it broke down with the Jewish people, is they weren't sharing enough with their children. So he says, listen to this. Chapter 6, verse 6. These words, all these commandments, all the law, all he's been teaching them, which I'm commanding you today, shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. What we learn from God, what we learn about God, is meant to be shared, passed on to others, especially our children. It says sons, that's male, but it doesn't just male, it's daughters too, granddaughters and grandsons. We need to be passing on our faith to our family. And according to Moses, our priority must be our family. So I see an important order here. You must first apply God's word to your own heart. It says these words shall be on your heart. And then two, you can pass them on to others. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. We cannot teach what we're not living. You cannot share what you do not have. It's got to be yours first. You have to have that love for the Lord, that seeking the Lord, that passion for God, if you want that to rub off on your family, your children. God's word must impact my life first before it can impact others. Let me ask you, do you apply God's word to your own life? When you read God's word, do you have a teachable spirit? You're saying, God, show me my faults, change me inside? Or do you sit there and think, I wish my husband was here. He could really use this. I wish my kids were here. I wish my spouse was here, because I was thinking about how to apply it to others. No, apply it to you. God is speaking to you, and when you get ownership of it, you can share with others. Let God's word affect you first. When that happens, you will affect others. All right, we looked at 3 points. You want spiritual success, you want victory, then seek the Lord every day. Make it a priority of your life. Seek the Lord with all your heart, it says. Number two, love the Lord with all your heart, passionately. Number three, share the Lord with a teachable spirit. And our final truth, and this is maybe the hardest for all of us, to assure victory, we must obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. This is a consistent theme throughout the Bible. We must be doers of the word and not hearers only. Moses makes it clear that obedience brings God's blessing and disobedience brings God's curse. Obedience is what we're talking about. If you really want to have victory, you start obeying God. Yes, you love him. Yes, you seek him. Yes, you share him. But you obey it in your own heart. Otherwise, it's for naught. Listen to this verse. This is chapter 11, verse 26. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today. The curse, if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God. So listen is obey. Listen means you have ears to hear, do it. Do not listen means I have ears, but I'm closing my ears. I'm not going to listen. I'm going to be disobedient. This older generation of Israel refused to listen to God when he said to march forward into the promised land to take it. Their disobedience led to their destruction. Moses is pleading with this younger generation. He says, you listen. You obey the Lord, that he might bless you and bring you into the land and help you multiply and take the land and have victory. He's saying, do not repeat history. Your forefathers made the wrong choice and suffered for it. Please make the right choice so that you may be blessed by God. Now, earlier, I compared Deuteronomy to a pep talk. This was obviously more important than winning a football game or losing a football game. Their whole future as a nation was at stake. So Moses is urging them, choose life, choose obedience, choose to follow God all the way so that you don't perish in the land. That's what preachers do, is we beg you to make the right choice. If you want God's blessing in your life, then obey God's word. I'm begging you. Seek God, love God and obey God. Listen and respond. Be a doer of the word. Don't just be a hearer. Passive. Don't be a passive hearer. Be an active doer. That is the main message of this entire book. As God's people, Israel, were at a crossroads, they had to make up their minds about God. Would they obey God and move forward and be blessed and be winners? Or would they choose to disobey God and move backwards again and be cursed and be losers? The same choice is repeated in chapter 30, this time with even stronger words. Look at chapter 30, verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. The decision would have a life and death implications for that nation. What you decide as a group, he says, is going to make a difference. They could choose to obey God and experience life in the promised land, prosperity in the promised land, or they could choose to disobey God and suffer death in the desert. He says, it's up to you. There's the key verse, chapter 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and the curse. So choose life, he pleads. Choose life, he begs, in order that you may live. Now that's what I call a pep talk. He's saying, do the right thing. Get back in the game. Go forward. Make your choice. Choose to obey God and experience life. Because if you disobey God, you'll perish. And I think God is challenging us with the same decision today. Each of us has to make up our own mind. Each of us has to make our own choice. No one can make your choice but you. You can choose to obey God, to love God, to seek God, to have His blessing, have His victory, or you can choose to ignore God, disobey God, and it leads to a path of destruction. If you respond in obedience to God, if you trust Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, if you give your life to Christ, then you can have life. But if you choose to reject Christ, if you choose to go your own way, then you're choosing death. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Perish or life. It's all through the New Testament, the Old Testament. It's a consistent message. Life or death. Life comes by loving God, seeking God, following God, obeying God, and death comes by failing to follow and trust Christ. Moses is pleading with you. Jesus is pleading with you. I'm pleading with you. Your family is pleading with you. Choose life that you may live. None of us can make that choice for you. You alone must decide. I'm going to encourage you to make that choice right now in a moment of silent prayer. Let's bow our heads just for a moment. Would you pray in your own words, dear God, I choose to follow you, to seek you, to love you, to obey you. I choose to receive your Son, the Lord Jesus, as my Savior. I ask him to forgive my sins. Make me whiter than snow inside. And Lord, I choose life. I choose to seek you every day of my life. I choose to love you with all my heart, all my soul. I choose to share you with those around me. And I choose to obey you as I read your word. You pray those things in the silence of this moment. Father, we thank you for this relevant old scripture. It talks about seeking the Lord, seeking you and loving you and sharing you and obeying you. Lord, help us to choose life. Thank you that the same measure, same opportunity that Moses offered is for us, that we can have life in abundance and prosperity as we follow you. I pray for anyone here that's still on that borderline of making that decision, that they would walk into your kingdom today by choosing you. Thank you, Father, now for your word. Let it go with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want to know more about following after Christ, choosing Christ, I'm happy to sit with talk with you. My phone number is on the front of the bulletin. home phone and cell phone. So give me a call. Let me give you a postscript, a P.S., because I didn't tell you something about this book. Deuteronomy ends, we didn't read about it at all, with telling us how Moses dies. It's a beautiful passage. He's 120 years old. He says he's as young as he ever was and strong, but he's 120 years old. So God prolonged his life, and then God allowed him to die on Mount Nebo and did a private burial for him. He did not get to enter into the land. You can read about that on your own in chapter 34 of Deuteronomy. We also learn about a man named Joshua, who is then commissioned to become the new leader to follow Moses. So next Sunday, we'll study the book of Joshua. So if you're going to pre-read it, I think there may be 24 chapters in Joshua. That may be a lot to read, but the book divides into a lot of battles at the beginning and a lot of peace, war and peace. A lot of wars and a lot of peace. So read ahead, and we'll talk about the theme of that. Let's stand together. I'm going to give a benediction, then we'll close with a song. This benediction is actually right out of Numbers, the book we looked at last time. Number 6, it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace." Amen.